And once again, just be in Genesis chapter 12 for just a little bit. So that was the main portion of scripture I chose for tonight. And just once again, just going to reread it real quick. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. I don't have something very complicated tonight. After all, I mean, but then again, I am my dad's son, so it could go an hour. I mean, I hope that's okay if it does. Don't worry about it. It shouldn't. I don't think that I picked up that trait from him. But maybe everything else I did. No, I'm very thankful for the opportunity to get to preach tonight. As my dad said, it's more of an honor for me to be up here with my dad than anything. He's definitely been an inspiration to me more than anyone else. Not something I take lightly, you know. Who else can say they have a former missionary as a dad, you know? And I've messed up. I've not been the perfect son, even though I might look at it sometimes, you know. I was first born, red hair. You know, I try to be the best son I can, but there's been times I've messed up. And my dad and my mom are very aware of that. You could ask them for story after story after story. Everyone's done some bad things. I don't deserve to be up here. It's an honor, and honestly, I love being up here. I'm very nervous, if you can't tell, but I'd say I'm more so excited. I think I know the reason why Pastor John can get up here and do like this and like twirling around and like all that. I think I get it now. I think I understand that he is excited to share what God's laid upon his heart. It's not an easy thing. I think sometimes we take for granted that pastor gets up here week after week, Sunday after Sunday, even on Wednesday nights, and he spends time on these things. And, you know, sometimes God changes at the last minute, as he did for me today. But it's like, well, what a great thing. I'm glad we have such a great pastor tonight. And one thing I want to just say is that, as we can see here, Abraham had a choice. God gave him a choice. And it wasn't an easy choice. God gave him the choice to go away, far away from his family, to a place where he's never been, a place where he doesn't even know where he's going. God just said, I will show you. I will show you where you're supposed to go. And what do we see? I love verse number 4 so much, and there's so many things that we could say about it, but I just want to focus on those three words. So Abram departed. We didn't see any questions. How often do we, as Christians, with the entire Bible right here, we question God when he asks us to do one thing? Even if it's something simple. Oftentimes, many people use the illustration of handing out a tract. You know, God's not asking you to move continents. He's not asking you to move far away. He's just asking you that one tiny thing. But how often do we just pass that by? We just kind of shove it to the back of our minds. No, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. You know, I'm sure someone eventually will hand that person a track. It's not an easy thing. Doing the will of God is never an easy thing. Sometimes you think it can be the easiest thing in the world, and sometimes maybe it is for you, but oftentimes it can be a very difficult thing. But the thing is, God chose that for you. Isn't that great? Amen. Just because you think you can't do it doesn't mean that God can't do it through you. Amen. Turn with me to Luke 5, and we'll just read the first couple verses there. Just a little bit of backstory here. So Jesus is just beginning his earthly ministry, and in this chapter, he is about to call Simon and a few others to be his disciples. Of course, they did not know this, You know, and so often as Christians, we don't know what God wants us to do. And once again, let's see what Jesus wanted from them. And it came to pass that as people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, or Peter, and prayed him that he should thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word will I let down the net. And when they had done this, enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And being a fisherman, you know, you rely for finances to feed your family. You rely on catching something. This would have been a very disheartening thing for Peter and the others that he probably had working under him. You take a big financial hit from that. I mean, imagine today in today's world, I know the giant tuna that people catch all the time worth thousands of dollars. Imagine a boat like that and someone who maybe that's all they do, and they catch absolutely nothing in an entire night. You're talking about tens of thousands of dollars gone just because you didn't catch a single thing. One thing I've learned as a college student, bills are something that I hate. I will admit, it is. Last year I had a plan, and God had a different one, and I will admit, I did not like God's plan. It was a bit of a learning experience for me. Yeah, I had a bunch of money saved up. I'm like, this is going to be great. And then my friends were like, you want to go to McDonald's like 5 or 6 times a week? Not quite that many, but it sure does seem like that. You can't just rely on yourself. I learned that very quickly. I don't know if I've told you all this. I think most of you probably know. I have a second car already. God decided to take my first one away from me, and I don't know every reason, but I'm pretty sure it was because I was relying too much on myself and not enough on God. You know, I had a job lined up before college, and of course, I was what relatively well off for a first-year college student. And after that, let's just say after the car crash, everything slowly went downhill. I had more bills than usual pile up, some tickets through Maryland that decided to appear mysteriously. Couldn't imagine what they were. Not like I was speeding or anything like that. But that could be another reason you took my car away. We'll never know. But God decided, you know, I'm going to test you. And I will admit, I think I failed that test. When you have those bills lining up and you're like, I don't have a car for work, and you're trying to frantically find someone to take you to work, that weighs on you. And how often did I just trying to realize that, how often did I do that on my own power and not enough on God? God knew what was happening. God knew I would get my bills in on time. I just didn't know that. You know, and honestly, I feel like many of you have probably gone through the same, especially if you went to college. It's one of those things. You can't expect God's plan to always align with what you have in mind. And as we can see here, you know, Simon or Peter, you know, he trusted God. And, you know, then as he just met this man, he has no idea who he is. He was just preaching. As far as we know, Simon may have heard of him, but he had no idea who he was, really. But he was willing enough to trust a random stranger maybe a little bit of his pride. When you think about it, you know, just from our experience, fishermen would be far better equipped, you would think. They would know when to cast out the nets. But God had, you don't just take advice from random strangers usually, right? I mean, it's not something that we do. But Simon had faith, and we don't know. I can't tell you why he had faith. I probably wouldn't have had faith in that situation. But Simon had faith. It amazes me that I think of a child. God is our Heavenly Father, and we are His children. At least I hope you are tonight. God has given us something we never deserve, salvation. And if you aren't saved, I pray that you make that decision tonight. Nothing is better than making that decision. You could make bad decisions the rest of your life, but if you make that good decision, at least you'll be saved for eternity. I want you to turn over to Matthew 18, 1 through 4, real quick. And here the disciples, as you're about to see here, they have an interesting question for Jesus. One that, honestly, we may think of ourselves at some times. And at the same time, in verse number 1, came to the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." It takes humility to trust in God, doesn't it? We, as oftentimes, we have our own plans, we have things, and oftentimes it's hard for us to give up those plans. I just think of a couple of situations that even I've had and my parents have had. It's a hard decision. You have to have faith. When you move continents, as we did when we came here, and I'm so glad we did. I love you all so much. It takes faith. That was an expensive thing. You don't just make that decision lightly. And from a human standpoint, in our pride, we're like, that doesn't make sense. It costs way too much money. Maybe it's like, well, that just doesn't seem right. It seems unnecessary. But it's always more important to God that you follow him, right? Through faith. And I think I love that God uses an example of a child. Because we, as Christians, often are we disobedient to God our Father. When, you know, I love this illustration I've heard many times. It's just as simple as cleaning your room. You know, you tell your 6-year-old or even sometimes 18-year-old to clean their room, and they're like, it's fine. It looks great. So, you know, clothes all over the floor. Just have this eerie smell enter the room. It's just nasty. How often do kids, they're like, no, I don't need to. Or they will, and then they stop halfway through it. And they found this cool toy they haven't seen in years. Like, I have never done this, of course. But they find this cool toy, and they start playing with it, and then their mom comes in and yells at them. And you know, fair enough. They're not doing what they're supposed to be told, right? And often does the child get mad that they didn't get their way, that, oh, I have to do this terrible thing, or so we think is a terrible thing, when in reality it's better for you. You have it. You can see everything. You can find all the toys. You get rid of that nasty smell that's in the room. It's a great thing when we follow the will of God, is it not? Sometimes, as we're sitting here, we're Christians, you know, and we're just there. We're just like, okay, I know it's great. I know it's great, but well, this is better. And oftentimes, it's like choosing gold over trash, or choosing trash over gold. It doesn't look like trash to you, but it looks like trash to God. I have these cool sunglasses here. I think they make me look amazing. The thing is about sunglasses, they block out the light. That's what they're meant to do. How oftentimes do we as Christians, I can see everything just fine. When I put these on, I have a hard time seeing everything. How often do when we are looking at what God wants us to do, we put on our vision, we're not seeing the entire picture. We're here. God's above us. He sees everything. We are so focused on what we want that we don't think about what God wants. Sometimes you just have to take off the glasses and look at the bigger picture. Just want to look at Isaiah 41:10. You don't have to turn there for sake of time. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Christian life isn't easy. You know, I think often the world thinks that as Christians we have, you know, every, like for us, it would seem like, oh, everything's provided for them, right? Like God provides absolutely everything. And in a way, he does. He does. I'm not saying he doesn't, but it's not easy. Sometimes that bill might be almost late before something shows up. That God, you can't see that. You're getting worried. God knows you have an extra paycheck coming that you didn't know about. God knows that car payment or that vehicle that just got destroyed. My poor brother's car just recently got destroyed. Terrible, terrible. It totally wasn't his fault. Which it wasn't. But he didn't think about that. He's been driving our van around for the last few weeks, and he has not enjoyed that. But there's a reason why God took it away from him, and maybe it was that so he wouldn't get into an accident. You know, just so you know, do not ride. It's probably better not to ride with the Williams family. I mean, I've hit a deer. My Jonathan's totaled a car. Someone hit me. My dad's wrecked who knows how many cars. Just a simple word of advice there. It might be so. Next time, if my dad ever asks, "Do you need a ride?" Think twice. Ask God. Honestly, ask God. It could not be the will. It could not be His will for you to take that. I'm joking. He's a great driver, far better than I am. And it's crazy. We can joke around, but we can think like, oh, it's true though. Like. We can think, you know, that thing that seems like an inconvenience might be saving you from something further along down the road. In Proverbs 22:24, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor of life. Once again, we can't rely on ourselves. Who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust God, the all-knowing, all-powerful, the one who loves you? Or are you going to trust yourself? And if you have a little bit of humility, I think we all know that we are not good people to trust. I am not a good person to trust, I can tell you that. But how often do we, in that situation that may arise, do we think to trust ourselves first? And that is human nature. You know, we seem like we're programmed like that, and we are, thanks to the curse of sin upon us. But sometimes that's why it makes trusting God even better. God knows you want to trust yourself. God knows that's who you want to trust at first. That's why you got to think twice. It's easy to trust yourself, easy to think, I can get out of this situation by myself. I don't need God's help in this. But oftentimes, we just make the situation worse. Over, and the thing is, we don't learn. We're dumb. We don't learn. No matter how old you are, there's going to be a situation which you're going to try to fix yourself when God's like, I'm right here. I want to help you. I think it's amazing that we can trust God with our soul and where it will spend eternity over just small little things. I hope all of you, have made the most important decision of your life and have trusted God to be your Savior. But maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, I don't hear God speak to me. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, can I encourage you today that God wants to be the one you trust in everything you do? As in John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way to heaven. If you're trusting yourself, you think you may be a good person, that will never be enough. And that might scare people. They're like, I am a good person. God will be fine with me coming into the heaven. Or whatever person they're trusting in. It could be Muhammad or Buddha or whoever it is. Isn't it amazing that everything's works-based except trusting Jesus? Except, and I would say the entirety of Christianity, but I can't. It's a sad reality we live in today. But true Christians, the one who trust Jesus with their life, they know where they're going. They have that peace. I love that song. I love the songs that both of songs that we've sang today so far. Just that peace. I can be worried about everything else, but at least I know where my soul is going when I die. And that is more to me than anything. You can never entrust your eternity to yourself. In such a famous verse, the easiest one everyone should have memorized, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You may make mistakes, but if you've made that decision, you're going to be just fine. We've all made mistakes, we're going to continue to make mistakes. We're not going to perfectly follow the path that God has set before us. We're going to deviate. That's human nature. It's who we are. But if you made that decision, you can always come right back. It's what God's allowed for us to do. Isn't it amazing that God's grace is so great that no matter how many times we mess up, God can guide us back. But we have to choose to let him do that. If you're unsaved, or if you've drifted off that path, you're not following God's will exactly, I implore you today, when the service is over, just come. Come talk to God. God knows exactly what you need. God knows exactly your situation. And if you want to get saved today, it's amazing that all of that's made possible by just one man who died on the cross, shed his blood for you and me. We weren't worthy of it. There's nothing we could have done. But God decided to come anyways. Amen. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I want to serve a loving God who decided I was worth it. Even if I was the only one here, God would have came down just for me. Even though there's nothing I could do, I am the reason, and you are the reason God came. And I don't know why I'm saying this. I just feel led. If you're doubting that your existence here is worth anything to anyone, don't you dare think that. Because it will always be worth something to God. I don't know why he had me say that right now. But if someone needed to hear that today, to God, you are always worth something. And I would encourage you, if you feel like that, talk to Pastor. We have great pastoral staff here. We have deacons. Talk to them about that. That is not, suicide is never an option. Just want to say thank you all. You've been a great blessing. And I know the college students are getting ready to head back. Money is nice. I know the pastor was joking around it earlier, but if you do want to, I'm kidding. God provides. But I just wanted to thank, as we're about to head out, and we're just going to praise God for a bit, keep in mind, you came here for a reason, so that's why God wants you to be here. Even if it's a night just to praise him, isn't that a great thing? He does not get all the praise he deserves, so at least he can add to it a little bit. Pastor, dear Lord, I just want to thank you today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that I was able to help someone tonight, Lord. Lord, I thank you for giving me strength, Lord. I may have not said everything perfectly, not everything clearly. Lord, but give us a great rest of the service, Lord. As we go and sing, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us, Lord, just to praise you for just a few minutes, Lord. You deserve all the praise in the world, and I thank you for it. Once again, I just pray that as someone's struggling with salvation today, Lord, that you give them that you press upon their heart to get saved today, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen. Church, there's a reason why the Lord tells us over and over and over again, lean not unto thine own understanding. He tells us again and again how our heart is deceitful. and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He says, trust in me. But yet we try to figure it all out, don't we? We got this plan and we got this thing and we've got this all figured out in man's logic. And we don't know what God knows. We can't see the other side. I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Stanley's going to play. Let's use the